This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Time is 8:17. If you'd like to join us, 615-737-1045 on Twitter at WUZ1045. On the way during the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have a couple more chances for you to win. I got tickets for Tennessee and Mississippi State. Do that at the top at around 9:03. And then also have the Monday morning facial. So get your A material ready for the facial. Do that next hour. In the house, he's back from the combine, where he set records in every workout. Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. You let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Coach Mack, what's going on?
Good morning, Kev. Morning, guys. Yeah, I drove back. I drove back last night after the linebackers and the defensive line work, you know, stayed and did a few things. I was up there through Tuesday. It was a great, really good, really, really got a lot of work done, and is very enlightening. You know, got to, of course, talk with a lot of people, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, I was telling, you know, you guys when I walked in here, they've had it there for 32 years. I've been to 31 of them.
Wow.
And it just amazes me as to how different these athletes are now, and where they've come from as far as the pre-combine training and the type of shape they're in, especially the big men. You know, everybody was expecting the big guys to really be the story of this combine. And the way that they were gonna run and work, and it bore that out very, very quickly. It's impressive.
Yeah. Well, thanks for leaving and coming, you know, and staying with us today.
No, you know what?
You know, because the combine's still going on. I'm looking on TV, the DBs, man. No, you left the DBs. Well, you get the big horses down in the paint down there, man.
I had people asking me last night, you know, are you going to be back over here tomorrow, Mac? And I said, no.
I got
three real dudes I got to go back over here.
All right, before we move forward, I got to say, the most impressive of all these workouts and players, the most impressive thing I saw was Rhett Bryant's 43 reps on the bench.
You know, when we first got there, Kev, I mean, it's, of course, once you get there into the combine, the competitive spirit hits you, all right? So we're over there, you know, we're over there doing, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, radio stuff going on. It's massive. Guys, that's just, it's a condensed Super Bowl now with Radio Row and as much as they have going on. They have a whole stands and theater set up just for the lifting. I mean, they bring fans in to cheer for the lifting. I mean, ooh, it's amazing.
Oh, man, I would have pumped out 50 billion reps.
Yes, you would have. I mean, you might still
got jacked.
You might still be lifting. Oh, you can. I mean, man. But anyway, when that was going on, of course, you know, in one of our dead times, I mean, you know how Rhett and I are. And I said, Rhett, right over there, set a combine record.
You are quite the motivator.
He did 43, man. That's pretty impressive.
To me, that was the funny part of the bit, was you coaching him through. It's like, all right, now keep it back flat. All right, here we go.
I didn't want him to take. See, they'll take one away.
They take them away. Yeah,
if you arch your back or you don't lock out, and then you know, I had to tell him to breathe. And, you know,
I heard that. That was great.
You breathe, and then, you know, for the last two, I mean, he hung in there. I really liked his form though, because he'd push his left arm up first, and his right arm. It was impressive.
I mean, well, you know, what arm is wicked at all that?
I don't know anything about that when you put it out on social media, the likes and all that stuff, but Rhett at dinner, you know, said, Mac, have you seen this? He says, it's got nearly 8,000 likes. I said, seriously, 8,000 people like you do it? It was outstanding.
I'm wondering how many people like DK Metcalf running in it, what he looked like. Did you get to see him up close? He looked like he was a bodybuilder.
No. You know what he looks like, and I'm serious. And it's just
1% body fat.
He looks like, you know how they have those real elaborate Batman suits for Halloween that are just cut, you know, with all the, I mean, it is incredible how big that dude is. And you know, I always sit right at the 40-yard line. You know, if you watch this thing, and you can see at the start of the 40, you know, where they're starting, you know, right to their right. You know, where Gil Brandt has always sat, and Al Davis, when he was alive, would sit there with him. And anyway, I sit right there on the start of the 40, about 14 or 15 rows up, and we have a pretty consistent group that sits there. And when that dude started, I thought he was going to tear the turf out of the ground. Wow. He jumped out. I mean, he's so explosive. When he jumped out, and from where we're sitting back there, clearly we can't get any times, but of course people are hitting us immediately from the suites, you know, with what the time is that they ran. That's insane. I mean, it really was. And whoa.
Yeah. What were some other guys that stood out? I know the kid from Quentin Williams, man, he looked like
Quentin, Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams is such a big, fluid athlete.
Oh,
I mean,
he looks smooth.
He's a big, fluid athlete. I've done a lot of tape work on him and have seen him. I mean, I've seen him being able to double swim double teams.
Yeah.
I mean, and the guy is, and plus he's just so young. I mean, he's so young, but the way he moves and as fluid as he is. I mean, Montez Sweat was to see in person and to watch him do that.
Was it 4.61?
Montez?
It was a 4.41.
He ran 4.41.
4.41, that's right.
Yeah, he would have blew me out. I wish they would have put me up there versus
him. That was faster. That's faster than Odell Beckham Jr.
No, and it to yeah. me, yeah, watching
Jalen Ramsey.
Watching that guy.
AB, 4.57.
Yeah. I mean, watching that guy run and watching him work and then in the drills. Now, I mean, he's not exactly, you know, of course, you're that big, you run that fast. I mean, there's going to be some things you can always, you know, find pluses and minuses on all players, you know, clearly. But for the way he ran, and then plus, I mean, his production, when you watch, you know, when I do that 20-week show with Doug Matthews at Coach to Coach, we watch a lot of Southeast Conference football. We watch a lot of games, and you could see his production was consistent, you know, throughout. And, Josh Allen, you know, there at Kentucky is also very, very impressive. That, I mean, I was really interested to see in person, to see Devin White, because I love the way he plays linebacker.
Devin White and Bush.
I love to watch them. And, you know, and Devin White, to me, is the best behind-the-ball linebacker in this draft. I mean, because and I knew he was fast. You watch him play, but he's a violent player. And then just the way he moved, there's some really interesting players. This draft for these big guys, the Bradbury kid, the guy that's a center, you know, slash mm-hmm. guard combination mm-hmm. at North Carolina State, mm-hmm. nice-looking player. You know, Dillard, the big offensive tackle from Washington State, whoa. I mean, just to watch him work. I mean, I was enjoying. And of course, I get down there early enough. I mean, I go to every workout because I know, you know, groups of clusters of assistant coaches at all of those. I mean, I started the combine out watching the kickers. So, you know.
Mm. Man, are there some drills? I always used to think about this. Did you say, man, I think they could do some better drills or maybe eliminate some of the drills that they're doing?
It's great that you talk about that because Wade Phillips stopped and talked to me after these guys worked yesterday, and Wade and I were talking. You know the drill. You know the drill they run, where they run around the bags and they, you know, and they pass rush. Well, really, you never really go that deep. You know, when you're really rushing the passer, and he said, you know, of course, you know, Wade and I've been going there just about the same amount of time. You know, watching those things. He said, I'd wish they'd cut it off, you know, a little bit. And I said, Wade, you know, they're not going to change those drills because, first of all, the drills. I mean, for years, it's been there 32 years. It's apples to apples comparison, so that they can get, you know, they can look back and say, this correlates to this, this correlates to this. And again, you're not really coaching them up there. I mean, you just want to see some physical attributes. But it's interesting you bring that up because Wade and I were talking about that yesterday before I left.
Well, the reason why I would say that, I'm going to add this to it, Doble, is I've always felt like if I would have had on my uniform running the 40 with my helmet, I would have ran the exact same time that I ran when I was there. So that's another element that's not part of the game because now you're a track person right here running the 40.
There's no doubt.
The 40. Well, some guys can't run with equipment on as fast. It doesn't work that way. They're not used to carrying weight with them. A lot of guys run the same speed with the weight.
And that's where
you... Will we ever get to the point where we see people running with helmets and shoulder pads?
That would be no. That would be no.
Come on, man.
But you vet the guys on tape and you watch the tape. And this just gives you another tool, you know, to compare. It's not the end all to be all. But, I mean, and you can see, but the way that it is now, if you train like they're training these guys now and you're able to perform, it gets everybody's eyes a little bit more open. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's not. And if you're ever drafting somebody just off of this, you're going to make a mistake.
Oh, and they keep making mistakes then because some of them, they happen. Ooh, some of these workout warriors, man. Wow.
Coach Jay McGinnis is with us, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We're talking NFL, 615-737-1045. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Just let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Mark, tell us about Mortgage Investors Group.
That's right. Is buying a home on your New Year's resolution list? Well, let Mortgage Investors Group help you get started. The housing market is hot. In fact, top five in the country. Be ahead of other buyers by getting pre-qualified before you start looking. Pre-qualification gives you bargaining power and can help you close quicker. Get pre-qualified. Get moving. And I can attest to that fact. 6.5 years ago when I was house hunting, Mortgage Investors Group told me how much house I could afford, got me pre-qualified, got me in the house that I wanted. So whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. They've been in business for over 29 years. They're the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. So let them put that experience to work for you. And as a first-time home buyer, applying for your first home loan can seem like a daunting task, but don't worry. Mortgage Investors Group will be there every step of the way. Let their experts help you get started on the path to home ownership. In fact, they have real offices with real people right here in Tennessee, in Brentwood, Hendersonville, and Clarksville. Or go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
Wake Up Zone, 834 on 104.5 The Zone. Cranking it up with Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You have questions, Titans NFL, 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at WUZ1045. Just a very interesting perspective on the combine. You're talking about all the years you've been there, and to see how it's changed and just kind of the hype around it is so much more than it used to be.
It really has, and it's become a huge event. And, you know, it used to be as a very small circle of people that were there, and it has changed so much, and the magnitude of it and the way that it has expanded. I mean, it takes over that city. It completely engulfs that you know, that downtown. And then, of course, you know, at night, you know, everybody's, you know, out to dinner, and then there's a lot of stuff going on with free agency down there at the combine. I mean, you'll see agents and general managers everywhere, you know, in the hotel lobbies. You'll see them at the restaurants. You'll see them working things. I mean, there's a lot of league work that goes on there, you know, and then, of course, the interviews with these guys are extremely, extremely important too. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot surrounding it. And if you handle it right and you know how to gather information, you can gather a pretty good bit of information there for a lot of things.
Well, Coach, I guess that's probably enough for me on the combine. I'm sure Mark is going to ask about his main man, his favorite player in the league, and that's AB, man. What did you think when you heard all that noise down there, man? Were you like, uh-oh, what the heck is going on around here?
No, not really. I just, you know, I heard, of course, here's the thing, you know, and once it came out, then, you know, a lot of people, they know I'm affiliated with the Titans, come to me, and I said, I don't know. I mean,
I'm out of the loop.
That's not up to me. I'm not, you know, in that, making that decision. I think you're going to hear a lot of things probably about that thing, you know, going forward. I mean, there's, it's very, very interesting, you know, as to how Pittsburgh is going to handle that when it gets down to the end of that decision. Clearly that decision, you know, has been made, but how it's going, you know, what type of trade partner they're going to get and how that is going to culminate in itself. I mean, and again, it's strange because, you know, AB has done some things that have not helped himself, mm-hmm, as far as perception wise, you know, with that. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's still a really, really good player. And so you're going to have to weigh that and see where it's going. But yes, as soon as that came out, I mean, and you never know how that type of stuff, you know, mm-hmm, get started, you know, but once it's out there, then people want to grab a hold of any little bit of information they can. It's going to be really interesting to see how this comes out.
I understand, you know, you're in a certain situation, you know, where you've got a guy with that kind of talent and that kind of drama surrounding him. You've been on the, you know, on the coach's side in a situation, I'm sure, similar to that. When you're doing your due diligence, who do you speak to? What do you want to know?
Well, I mean, you speak to any type. You know, the longer you've been in this league, the more contacts you have, and really, you want to talk to somebody within the Steelers organization that can tell you, you know, really what it's like. You know, like, if you know it, you know, say Blaine's a receiver coach, or Blaine is involved somehow with that staff at Pittsburgh, and I've, you know, he and I've had a history of being in the league together, and, you know, I could just call him and say, look, it's not going to come from me, but, you know, really, what's going on here? What was it like day to day? Where is it? You've got to be able to vet all of that stuff, and you've got to know who you can trust, you know, in vetting all of that stuff. And it's not only, look, you're talking about a good player, but you're also talking about a big contract, you know, and that's going to make a big difference too. And so there's a lot of things that come into that thing.
And often, and you know, Blaine and I were knocking this back and forth, you know, what you read and what you hear isn't necessarily the real story.
Absolutely.
So you got to get underneath that.
You got to get underneath it, and you've got to peel the layers back, because, you know, a lot of things that get out there. I mean, that's anything, you know, in this social media universe that we now live in. There's so many things out there that it's just, you know, you just can't. You've got to be able to separate all that, and it takes a while to be able to dig deep enough and to dig deep enough into something that really matters to find out the true story.
All right, back to the combine, because I'm fascinated with this.
You would also like it, I promise you. As much as you like ball and you like this, you would enjoy, you know, being up there and just seeing it.
Who are the fun guys, though, that you like to sit next to that have the great stories, but also the guys you still learn from?
You know what? I used to love to sit up there with Wash. You know, I used to love the defensive line coaches. You know, Chris Kasurik, who played here, who is now the defensive line coach at San Francisco, who's with Detroit, who's a Jim Washburn, you know, disciple. He kind of brought him up in this. You know, I sat with, you know, Chris, you know, this time, and you listen to the defensive line coaches. I mean, it's interesting to sit up there with him. I sat with Greg Cosell this whole draft, you know, to sit up there, you know, sit up there with him and just take it from that aspect of it. You know, he's never coached, but he's really, really, really deep into this for a lot of years and has a lot of knowledge. And it's fun to sit up there with him. The main thing, though, I tell you, Mark, that's interesting is when you're sitting up there, this thing moves so fast and you're concentrating and trying to, you know, trying to grade. I mean, I always take a grade sheet in there and we'll plus and minus drills and say what I like, what I don't like. You don't have a lot of time when this is going on for a lot of conversation. But, you know, some of the comments from those guys, especially when I was young up there, some of those older coaches, just some of the side comments would be, you know, I wish I'd have written them all down.
How hard is it to delineate one guy from the next when they all look pretty similar in their skills? You know, what are little things you can pick out in some of these drills that can make a difference? It seems like it'd be hard to figure it out at times.
You know, and again, I ran those drills for 7 years, you know, the linebacker drills. I was one of them running. And the one thing that you can look and see, and you're watching guys not only when they're participating, but you're watching guys to see how they are interacting with everybody else. You want to see how well they take instruction. See how well they take instruction and see how well, you know, they're able to, because you're not trying to coach them, but you're trying to say, you know, they've got that one drill, that 45 turn drill, where you're going to start off, you're going to shuffle sideways. I'm talking about for space players. And then you're going to open inside, you know, for 45, and then you're going to flip and open back outside. And then you're going to make a half turn, you know, to roll back. You tell them stay on the line, stay on the hash. I mean, you want guys that can be able to take instruction and still be able to, you know, be fluid. I look at guys to see, because they've run these drills forever while they're getting ready for them. You want to see the guys that are guessing and not trying to react. So, I mean, it's extremely, extremely interesting once you can look at the small things that are going on with these drills.
Oh, I call that anticipation, I guess.
Yeah.
that's what it gets me to 214.
There's a fine line between anticipating and guessing.
Yeah, let me tell you something. They're guessing.
842 on 104.5 The Zone. Come back with more with Coach Dave McGinnis. Always a lot of fun from Titans Radio. He's brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Looking for that great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. The Wake Up Zone. Be right back. Time is 8:48. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. About 15 minutes from now, going to have tickets for Tennessee and Mississippi State to give away. Make sure you're here at 9:03. We'll have those for you. In the meantime, Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You want to join us, 615-737-1045. On Twitter at WUZ1045. Talk Titans, NFL, whatever you want to get to.
Coach Mack, how much has analytics changed the way the NFL and I know every place is different, but how has it changed the way teams analyze players?
You know what?
As well, at the combine.
Yeah, I think you just take a deeper dive into a lot of, you know, numbers, and it's a different way to look at it. You know, people use it, and it's, again, it's not the final say, but especially with what's, you know, going on now. I mean, look, you've got so many different types of things with this analytics that you track everything that is going on. You know, you will look at it. I mean, most of the, you know, I know we were big on it, you know, out there in L.A., just, you know, going through it. I know most people will use it, but still you've got to be able to, again, guys, at the end of the day, look, you've got to trust your two best friends when you're looking at a player, your left eye and your right eye. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's got to happen. I mean, and that's never changed. And you've got to watch them play football. But all of the other things that you get, you don't solely make a decision based on just numbers, but they are part of the puzzle.
Do you watch a player differently today than maybe you did 25 or 30 years ago?
That's a great question. And let's just go position-wise. I watch a linebacker today different than I did, 25 or 30 years ago, because really the type of linebackers that, my first report to write a linebacker, for my first draft in this league was Pepper Johnson. Okay. Oh. All right. So
my favorite New York Giants of all time.
Well, it always goes back to that.
Well, it's just the truth. You know, Mark, I'm glad I made you happy. Pepper Johnson, John Offerdahl, those types of guys that were big, thick linebackers that were coming downhill because you had to take on 240, 245 pound fullbacks, I formation, lead strong, lead weak, and you're going to have a car wreck just about every first or second down when you're lined up in 21 personnel and they're coming down. Now it's different. Now you're looking at guys like, you're looking at these two, like watching Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan. Look, this is a guy, when I watch Jayon Brown, I mean, these are the types of guys that you're going to have now, because spatially how the game has expanded so much horizontally, how much route you're getting at that second level, what's going on, the foot speed that you're going to have, the windows you're going to have to be able to close just because of the different offenses that you're playing. You still want some of the traits that you have to have. You still have guys that have to be able to read and react. You have to have guys that have good initial first steps. You still have to have guys, that are able to handle, the conflict downs and be able to discern between run and pass. But the type of athlete you're looking at, it has become different. Just like, this Metcalf kid. I mean, look, with all the combat catches that are going on in the league right now, he's not a real supple athlete downfield as far as, where he's going to turn you in about six different directions moving. But, if he gets off the line and you're trying to play press man on this dude, you better have done some bench presses before you go out, to play him.
Push-ups aren't going to work, huh?
No, push-ups won't work anymore. And then the other thing is once he gets downfield and they throw up those combat catches, you're going to have somebody to go up to be able to muscle him up. So it's different. Great question. Yeah. And there's different things you're asking them to do now.
With a guy like that, though, Metcalf, Steve Smith was talking on air, and he was just like, he brought up a couple questions. Has that guy peaked already, and can he actually run routes? Because in this league, it's all about route running, because at some point, you're not going to be the biggest, strongest, fastest guy out there jumping the highest. He says, so is he going to be, Julio Jones's, or just another big receiver that kind of phases out after about 3 or 4 years, and he's just an okay player?
Well, and that's a real question, because it's legit. You could see in some of those drills. Mm-hmm. He's not real fluid, changing direction, mm-hmm. drill wise and making double cuts and being able to turn. And that's a real thing, because sooner or later at the end of this day, you're going to have to be able to get open. And, getting open is extremely important. And so, I think Steve Smith's got a tremendous point. Just like the big Nikhil kid at Arizona State, big combat catching dude. But, at the top of a route, he's grinding some coffee to make a turn. So it all still, as a receiver in this league, you still have to be able to get open. You have to be able to get open, and then that's always going to be the case.
How can you tell if a guy loves football or doesn't?
That is, look.
$1 million question, Mark.
No, well, it would be worth $1 million if you could do it, because mm-hmm. that's extremely important, and that's why you spend so much time, trying to do it. I mean, look. We got a guy sitting right here across from us that the combine still owes $40 to, for driving in for his per diem. But because that is the essence of it. I mean, that's the essence of it at the end of the day, and look, all the years that I've been doing this, and that encompasses a lot of players. I'm talking about training camp and when you cut down. There are more guys that are that don't make the cut in this league and cost themselves a chance to make a great living, not because they weren't athletically able to do it. It's just because they didn't love it and they couldn't handle the grind from Monday to Saturday.
Mm. I always wonder, though, why I know sometimes, you know, some of the scouts and coaches probably got burned, but can't they just go to the actual football coach or his position coach in college and say, hey, man, just give me the lowdown on him personally. Does he love football? Is he here watching tape? What makes him tick? Is this guy a competitor? Does he want to get better? I mean, can't you just ask these guys?
They ask that all the time.
And they're promoting their player, right?
They go in there and ask that all the time. And then you have to know who you can trust, you know, and who you can't trust. But at the end of the day, and sometimes too, Blaine, you've been involved in this. I mean, guys change. You know, when they come in, some guys change.
Especially
you know,
they get some money.
When they get money, you know, and it makes a difference. And you know, circumstances change. And so you have to be able to, you know, to find out because, as you well know, I mean, being able to physically play this game at this level is a big piece of it, but it's not all there is to it. Because, as I said, that Monday to Saturday thing, that grind that you have to be able to do mentally, physically, psychologically, you know, all of that really, really makes a difference.
Our final minute here. It's been reported that Nick Foles is indeed going to go to the Jaguars when the league year starts next week. How does that change things in the AFC South, you see, with the quarterback switch there?
Because you work with Nick Foles, right?
I've been with Nick
Foles. Is he a starter in this league?
I've been with Nick. Let me tell you.
Not part-time. Is he a full-time starter?
Well, he's getting ready to be. And here's the thing. Dean Pease will bring some heat. That's all I can say. I mean, and look, they've been struggling down there in Jacksonville. I mean, to try to find a quarterback, because that football team, in my opinion, they wasted a year last year. I mean, they wasted a year because that defense is really, really special. And they had enough to make it go. They wasted a year last year, and they spent a lot of money on a quarterback that ended up could not carry it for 16 weeks. They're hoping they can strike. Look, the Eagles caught lightning in a bottle once with Nick Foles. They're hoping they can catch it again down there in Jacksonville. We'll see.
Coach Mac, thank you.
Guys, you're the best. I'm glad I drove back for this.
Man, so are we.
Thank you. We wouldn't have made it without you.
It was worth it. All right. See you guys.
All right. From Farm Bureau Health Plans, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Coach Dave McGinnis each Monday morning here on 104.5 The Zone. We'll explore more about this AB to the Titans scenario and also give away some tickets to see Tennessee and Mississippi State. That's coming up next. This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.